God wants you strong in him. Can I dare say it? One with him. For years I wouldn't use that phrase. I knew it was true. But I thought people would say it wasn't scriptural. But then I ran across a scripture. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You've actually been, if you're born again, you've been made part of him. Part of him. So where's your proper position? It's in him. In him we live and move and have our being. And for way too long, as Christians, we've tried to do Christianity for him and failed at it because we don't have the ability. Our flesh doesn't have the ability to be a good Christian. And so we try and fail and try and fail and try and fail and try and fail. And then we come to God and say, oh God, I'm such a flop at this. He's like, yeah, I know, because you're trying to do it in your strength. But honey, the strength is in me. Let me pour my grace. That's how God works. When you come to understand that his grace, people have misdefined grace. It just doesn't mean, it just, you can live any old kind of sinful way and God's just going to say, I don't see it, I don't see it. No, no, no. God doesn't sniff at sin. God doesn't ignore sin. There is a judgment for sin, but thanks be to God, the judgment goes on Jesus. It's like as though my sin causes this great judgment to come toward me, and just before it hits me, Jesus steps in, and he takes the judgment that is due me because of my inabilities, my sin. And if we can understand that that's who he is, and seek him in the holy place. Listen, he says, seek me while I may be found. He says, when you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'm telling you, he's the pearl of great price. Remember, the man sold everything to get that pearl. If we consider everything else as nothing, Paul considered it all rubbish that he might have Christ. Because he understood to have Jesus is to have everything. If you gave me a choice and said you could be a billionaire and you could run nations, you could have anything you want, or you could have Jesus, I take Jesus every time. Every time. Because Jesus has it all. More than the world can ever give you. And that false happiness you're chasing, some people are chasing a happiness. They say, if I just had this, then I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. Or if it made you feel good, it'd be for just a short time. And by the way, that's the way you check for idolatry in your heart. If there's something you say, if only I had that, then I'd be happy. Sweetie pie, if that ain't Jesus, it's an idol. And what do we do with idols? We crush them. Because idolatry brings a curse, right? It brings problems. Jesus wants you to see the greatness of his glory, the greatness of his ability to do through you what you could never do. As we are worshiping today, I see something starting in some people for the first time. If you don't have a prayer chair at home, you get yourself a big old cushy prayer chair and find a hideaway spot for it. If you've got a whole bunch of people in your house, you either get up early or you wait till they go to bed. Then you sneak back out. And you just spend time talking to your Father. Ask him. Don't ask me the questions of your heart. Your questions are good, but I'm not your solution. What you're asking me to do is do your relationship for you. Okay? And like I said, if someone's young, I'll help them. But what the real job is, God wants you to take those questions to him, no matter how minute they seem. The only reason I know anything is I learned that if I asked God an honest question, no matter how dumb, no matter how childish, I don't get it. I'm a simple person. You got to explain it to me. And by the way, I'm not going to let you go till you do. I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to bug you, I'm going to pester you. I'm not going away. The reason God talks to me is because I will not let him go. And he knows I'm not going away. Might as well just tell her. Might as well just tell her. Ask God the simple questions of your heart and expect him to answer you. Now, he's not going to do it that second. Don't worry about that. You just ask him with an honest heart and wait. The next day, if he hasn't answered you yet, he'll usually answer through a scripture, but he can't do that if your face isn't in the word, okay? If you're reading your Bible, God will speak to your heart, and it'll be so precise, you'll be like, I just asked him that question. I just asked him that. That's right. He speaks through his word, or he'll just bubble up a scripture. If you're an older saint and you know the word, he'll bubble up a scripture and like, oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah. Or he'll have someone, even sometimes an unbeliever, just say something that's so bizarre, and you're like, oh my gosh, I just asked that question. Some of you say, I don't hear. Well, are you asking? When you ask, you place a draw on the power of the Spirit. When you ask, you place a draw on the Holy Spirit to speak. God wants to do something in you. I'm just going to share this, and we're going to go back to worship. This morning, I was laying in bed, and I connected, you know, how you can just connect to God. I connected to God. I was just seeking the Lord for what's on his heart. And he said, there's people who, they are born again, but they've never made me Lord. And I remember I used to be like that. I was born again at 15, but I really didn't make him Lord of my life. And what that meant was there were some areas I gave him right away. And those areas became blessed, powerfully blessed. But there was a few areas I wasn't ready to give him lordship. And in those areas, I got clobbered. In every area, little by little, I learned if I give an area to him, he would pour his blessing upon it. The first area I gave him was my finances. First area. Because the first book I read was Malachi. So I got that right away. My first tithe, I was 24 years old, and I wasn't even serving God. I was in sin, I'll tell you the truth, but I knew God was real. And God had blessed my job, and I knew it was God that had blessed my job. And I thought, you know, I ought to tithe. I didn't even go to a church. I wrote out a check for $2,400 and sent it into some church I'd been to one time. First area I understood about. And God blessed my finances so powerfully that in my 20s, I made more than most of the men in my neighborhood, and I knew it was God. See, I gave him that area, so he blessed that area. If you're afraid to give God your finances, you know, if you're afraid to, how can he bless it? He wants to bless your finances. It's not a big deal. I had an area, though, I wouldn't give him, and that was men. I was young and skinny and cute. 100 years ago. And I didn't want God to pick the guy because I was just sure he'd pick some geek. I'm just being brutally honest. I just thought he's going to pick some geek. I know it. I just know it. And I wouldn't give him that area. And that area grew worse and worse and worse until it really destroyed me. And at the age of 26, I said, okay, I get it. I'm getting on my knees again for the second time in my life. And I'm making you Lord of all. And I'm making one decision today. And that's that I don't make decisions anymore. You do. You are running my life. Because I've learned why I have one revelation. And that's if you leave it to me, I'll probably screw it up. But if God decides, whether it's career or marriage or dating or church, what church to go to, God always knows what's best. We don't. I had that revelation at the age of 26. I got on my knees again. I said, I'm making you Lord. I don't make decisions anymore. You do. There's people in here, you've never made that decision. And it's clobbering you. It's harming you because you have certain areas you've held back because you were afraid that God wouldn't do what was best for you. You have trust issues. Uh-oh. But it's been hard for you to trust God because people have done you wrong. You have reason to not trust people. Do you know what the Bible says? It says Jesus did not entrust himself to man because he knew what was in their heart. God isn't asking you to trust people. He's asking you to love them. But Jesus himself did not entrust himself to people. He knew what they would do, and he knew exactly how they were going to do it, by the way. But he's not like anyone you've ever met. He can be trusted wholly. So if you're having trust issues, God is asking you, will you trust me? Will you put your faith in me that I will always do what is right for you, even if it looks a little unusual? Will you give me your heart, not part of it? Will you give me your life in every area? So before we go back to worship, I'm going to ask you, don't say this if you don't mean it, but if you're ready to say, you know what, I'm ready to let go. I'm ready to stop trying to run this thing. I'm ready to stop holding back an area. I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to be Lord, not just Savior, but Lord of every area of my life, my heart, my relationships, my home, my job or career, my finances, everything. I'm making you Lord today, and no more will I hold back certain areas to run them for myself. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
world has nothing for you.
I need you, Jesus.
Say, oh, to you,
got in the stirring of the waters, you got healed. I feel like God is stirring the waters. If you need healing, God has healing for you, right? Right here, there's healing in this room right now. At the base of your stomach, God is healing it right now. A problem with the stomach lining is being healed right now. I see a knee getting healed. I see persistent headaches getting healed. You are one of the person I'm talking to with the headaches. You respond. It's hard for you with when the atmosphere's heavy. You guys can keep playing, but there gets to be a heaviness in the atmosphere, and your system responds in the natural poorly. There's like sinus problems. God says no more, no more. He's clearing that out. He's clearing that out. We command a reversal, hallelujah, of sinus pressure and that persistency of it. You actually have spoken the words, I can tell when there's rain coming. I can tell when there's weather. I can feel it coming. But no more will you be able to tell when there's a change in barometric pressure because you're being healed. I saw someone's lower back, your spine. God is putting some things in place that I'm out of place for a long time. I saw bone spurs being healed. Someone's, it's not the actual shoulder, but this area just under the shoulder is being healed, put back, it's like it was out or something I'm seeing, being put back into place. I feel like pretty much whatever you need, it's here. But he's having me say some things to help your faith. Someone's neck. It's caused you problems for years, and God, I saw God almost lifting your head, and your neck getting healed. There's someone here, you're walking out of some things. You're walking out once and for all. You felt like it's gone on too long for too many years, but I saw you walk right out of it. And then I saw you turn and close the door behind you. You're closing the door on your past once and for all. So your past can't own you. Your past cannot own you. It is a new day, the Lord says. There's someone here, you've carried sorrow. You've worn sorrow. Years you've carried sorrow. But the Lord is releasing you from that. He says, lift up your eyes. I'm doing a new thing in you, and I'm draining out that terrible burden of sorrow. Once for all time, I'm draining that out. To the person that has carried disappointment, God is going to bring you to a rejoicing. You've carried disappointment. You've worn it like a cloak almost, like a mantle of disappointment, because some things didn't go how you thought they could or should. Jesus is so gentle. I saw him take that mantle of disappointment. And I heard him say, hope again. Hope again. Hope again. I speak life to you. I speak life to you. Life from the dead. Life from the dead. Life from the dead. Resurrection power for you. I saw someone that dragged a cloak up, and I was asking the Lord what it was like a dark cloak, a black cloak. It was just heaviness, you know, and you were dragging. I said, Lord, what is that cloak? And he said, it's the heaviness of shame. He said, that doesn't belong to you. Some things happened to you that caused you to take on shame. It may have been something, I think, in your family, but you took on shame and you began to wear it. few years ago, you managed to take the cloak off, but you still drag it around. And the Lord said, I'm asking you to let go of that shame. It is not yours, and I have no shame for you. I took shame on the cross, so you don't have to carry it. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I break every word that was spoken against you that brought shame on you. I break those words. I release you from your past. In the road, and we're worried, if I'd have just gone that way, if I'd have done this, or if I'd have done that, and you had regret. I heard the Lord say regret, and you worried that it was all your fault, something that went wrong was all your fault. The Lord said, no, nothing doing. God is removing regret from your heart. He is freeing you because it's not true. That's one of those lies we talked about last night. It's not true. God is removing guilt and shame. And I have news. Many times in my life, I've taken the wrong path, the wrong fork in the road. And here's what I found out. God will meet me. He will come and find me. And he will put me back on the right path. All I have to do is trust him.
Thank you.
saw the Lord pulling up a weed and the whole root was coming out. And I said, what am I seeing, Lord? And he said, there's someone in here that you feel rejected by God. It's a lie you have believed. And even though you do know God loves you, there are times when it's tormenting because you feel like, due to circumstances in your life, you feel like you've been rejected by God. And I see God pulling that thing out and the full root, every tip out. Because that is a lie. And I'm replacing it with embraced by God. One more thing, we thank you, Lord. I've been waiting, you know, you try to wait on the timing of the Lord. And this morning, as I told you, I was just laying in the presence of God, connecting to him, saying, what is going on with your people, and what do you want to bless them with? How do you want to help them? And he said the words, soul ties. And some of you in here are older saints, you've broken all soul ties, you know what I'm talking about, but some of you have never heard the phrase before. There's a scripture in the Word where it says if a man joins himself to a harlot, they become one. And that's not good. Because if that man then goes to another relationship or gets married, now he brings a soul tie, and they have there's problems, but he doesn't know why there's problems. So if you were a long time in the world before you came to Christ, you may have formed many soul ties, right? Because the way our world is, that's the way of the world. When I first came to understand how dangerous soul ties were and that it caused an open door to the enemy, I sat with the Lord and it can be because you were with somebody, okay, that you shouldn't have been with. It can be you can have a soul tie with an organization. There are some people who join an organization thinking it's good and later find out it's not so good. And in some of them, they make you declare certain things like a vow. And now you've joined yourself to that organization and there's a tie there. And the reason God's bringing this up is that you may not be aware why there are certain problems in your life, but I feel like these are pretty easily broken if you know about them. And so when I first discovered or learned about it, God had me actually sit with him. And he brought to my remembrance some things that I needed to deal with. Because I didn't want my soul being joined to stuff in the past or people in the past. I had to please my mom, I had joined an organization that I really didn't want to join, but it meant a lot to her. And it was actually a nice organization of nice ladies. Bored me stiff, but it pleased my mom. Well, when they bring you in, it's a secret, you know. And it was like a little bit weird, actually. And they had me say these things. But later on, when I turned to Jesus, I realized, no, that's like, even though I'm all his, I'm all in, I belong to him, I believe that was a soul tie. Because, you know, I said a vow. And a vow is a legal declaration in the spirit. Yikes. In fact, some people are bound by vows they made when they were little. Here's a vow. I'll never trust again. I'll never let them see me cry. Those vows cause you to have problems later, and you're like, why am I having this problem? And only the Holy Spirit can bring us back to the moment. Whoops. See, I remember when I was in my 30s, I got very ill physically, out of nowhere, and I had my hand on the phone to call 911. The Lord said, don't call 911. This isn't physical. What? And God said to me, he said, you made an inner vow. And when you were five, I said, no, you know, I didn't even know what one was. I said, no, I didn't. And I'm like, well, he's always right. I said, what do you mean? He took me instantly back to a moment. I was 5 years old. Someone had hurt my feelings and I was crying. I was very sensitive. You wouldn't believe that now, but I was very sensitive. And my dad did not like crying. And he yelled at me real loud. And he said, why do you have to be so sensitive all the time? Well, I loved my dad and I respected him. So I didn't speak it, but in my little five-year-old heart, I said, oh, that's not okay. I'll never let them see me cry. And I became a tomboy. I became tough. I had a mask. Never let anyone see it. In fact, I buried it so well, I didn't even know I had it. I buried my emotions, because emotions weren't okay, see? I made a vow. Come on, somebody in here, you've done this. Well, what happens is, over time, if you don't deal with that stuff, it'll start to deal with you. And I started to go through very severe trials in my life, and I'm stuffing more and more and more with my mask. How are you? I'm doing great. Everything's great. Everything was horrible. Horrible. And my body began to react out of the blue really badly. And what had happened was I was a stuffer and I had stuffed all these emotions for all those years. And guess what? That turned toxic. Did you know that bitterness can make you sick? Did you know that unforgiveness can make you sick? And you may go, well, I've forgiven. You know what? Sometimes you have forgiven, but if you've forgiven and it keeps coming back, you've stuffed it. God can help you to release that in a godly, holy way with him alone. Nobody else has to know. But God can help you to not carry that stuff anymore because it makes you sick. Well, God took me through a long process of getting rid of all those years. And I was made well. Because guess what? It wasn't really physical, was it? It was a spiritual issue from a vow I made at five. Okay? And we have a CD, I don't know if it's back there, but it's called If There's a Problem, Look Under the Hood. Don't, oh Lord, fix my car. Oh, Lord, just fix my car, Lord, you know. No, open the hood. Or take it to somebody who knows about it and let him open the hood. What? There's a reason something's wrong. Hello. There are reasons why things work and don't work in the kingdom. There are reasons. People used to, we didn't know, so we'd say, well, you know, it was just the will of God. No, a lot of things happen that aren't the will of God. A lot of things go on in the earth that are not what God wanted. So it's okay to to have him help you understand what is causing this problem. Is it something I need to address? Because guess what? It usually is. At least in my case, it's usually me. The problem is me. So when it comes to soul ties, I sat with the Lord and I had a piece of paper, actually like a notebook, and he brought to my remembrance some soul ties that I had formed over the years. And it had damaged my soul, right? Well, think about it. If you were in a bunch of relationships, and particularly I think young women are prone to this, you know, because young women are raised from little, you're supposed to look like this and act like this and smell like that, and you form all this stuff, and then you form a relationship, and it isn't exactly what you thought. You form another one, and that isn't exactly what you thought. You form another one, and that's not what you thought. And you're looking for love in all the wrong places. I'm talking to someone. And sometimes in that process, you form soul tie, soul tie, soul tie, and every time there's a break, there's a rip in the soul. Did you know that when Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted, that word, that broken, means shattered or fragmented? How would it get fragmented if you hadn't formed a tie and then it broke the wrong way? If you've been through a divorce, it's very likely that you've been, you know, you were one with that person, and no matter how good or bad they were, all the goods and bads, we all have goods and bads. But it's very possible that you have some brokenness that God wants to heal, and you may not know it, but you may still have a tie there, right? We bless the person, we forgive, hallelujah, our ex, come on. We bless them, we pray for them, but we need to go to the Lord and get that broken, okay? And if you've never heard of this before, just sit with the Lord and say, can you bring to my remembrance? And he may not speak it in words, but your memory will the Holy Ghost will bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever he's spoken to you. He will bring, he'll pop memories. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And as you sit with the Lord, you just simply repent of the relationship, ask God to pour the blood of Jesus on it and to make you whole and to make them whole if that's a person. Release them. Be loving. Amen.